The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is The Little Old Lady Who Was Not Afraid of Anything, and it's by Linda Williams. It was very close to Halloween time when a little old lady came out of her house, a little old lady who was not afraid of anything. One windy afternoon, the little old lady left her cottage, and went for a walk in the forest to collect herbs and spices, nuts and seeds. She walked so long and so far that it started to get dark. There was only a sliver of moon shining through the night. The little old lady started to walk home. Suddenly she stopped, right in the middle of the path were two big shoes, and the shoes went clomp, clomp. "Get out of my way, you two big shoes. I'm not afraid of you," said the little old lady. On she walked down the path, but behind her she could hear two shoes go clomp, 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 clomp. A little farther on, the little old lady stumbled into a pair of pants, and the pants went wiggle, wiggle. "Get out of my way, you pair of pants. I am not afraid of you," said the little old lady, and she walked on. But behind her, she could hear two shoes go clomp, clomp, and one pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle. Still farther on, the little old lady bumped into a shirt, and the shirt went shake, shake. "Get out of my way, you silly shirt. I'm not afraid of you," said the little old lady, and on she walked a little bit faster. But behind her, she could hear two shoes go clomp, clomp, one pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle, and one shirt go shake, shake. A little ways on, the little old lady came upon two white gloves and a tall black hat. And the gloves went clap, clap, and the hat went nod, nod. "Get out of my way, you two white gloves and you tall black hat. I am not afraid of you," she said, and on she walked, but just a little faster than before. But behind her, she could hear two shoes go clomp, clomp, one pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle, one shirt go shake, shake, two gloves go clap, clap, and one hat go nod, nod. By now, the little old lady was walking at quite a fast pace. She was very near her cottage when she was startled by a very huge, very orange, very scary pumpkin. And the head went boo, boo. It's not just a pumpkin, it's a big, scary jack-o'-lantern. Now this time, the little old lady did not stop to talk. She did not stop at all. She ran. But behind her, she could hear two shoes go clomp, clomp, one pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle, one shirt go shake, shake, two gloves go clap, clap, and one hat go nod, nod, and one scary pumpkin head go boo, boo. The little old lady did not look back. She ran as fast as she could and didn't stop to catch her breath until she was safe inside her cottage with the door locked. She sat in her chair by the fire and she rocked and she rocked. It was so quiet in her cottage before the knock, knock on the door. Should she answer it? Well, she was not afraid of anything. So she went to the door and opened it. And what do you think that she saw? Two pairs of shoes go clump, clump. One pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle. One shirt go shake, shake. Two gloves go clap, clap. One hat go nod, nod. And one scary jack-o'-lantern head go boo, boo. I'm not afraid of you, said the little old lady very bravely. What do you want anyway? We've come to scare you. You can't scare me, said the little old lady. Then what's to become of us? The jack-o'-lantern pumpkin head suddenly looked very unhappy. I have an idea, said the little old lady. She whispered into the pumpkin's ear. The pumpkin head nodded, and its face seemed to brighten. The little old lady said good night, closed the door, and whistled on her way to bed. The next morning she woke up early. She went to her window and looked out into her garden. And what do you think she saw? Two shoes go clump, clump. One pair of pants go wiggle, wiggle. One shirt go shake, shake. Two gloves go clap, clap. One hat go nod, nod. One scary pumpkin head go boo, boo. And scare all the crows away from her garden. And here at the end, it looks like all those scary things have put themselves together and made a very scary scarecrow for her garden so that the crows couldn't eat all her corn and her carrots and her collard greens. Anyways, that's the end of that story. Our next story is E-I-E-I-O by Judy Sierra. Now, we all know the song, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on that farm he had a cow and other animals too. And we all know that poem. But this E-I-E-I-O book is a little different. It's E-I-E-I-O, How Old MacDonald Got His Farm. Old MacDonald had a house, E-I-E-I-O, and around that house there was a yard. Mow, 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 mow. Old MacDonald said, I love my yard, but mowing grass is mighty hard. So off he went to get a goat, E-I-E-I-O. The goat nibbled just at the edges, and then she ate MacDonald's hedges. There's a big hole through the hedge looking into the neighbor's property. Now soon the plot began to thicken. Old MacDonald got a chicken, E-I-E-I-O. Not your average bird was she, but the smartest bird in history. Cheer up, Max, said the little red hen. You'll never mow that lawn again. Join me in a garden caper. Cover this grass with paper, layer cardboard, and then add dirt. And old MacDonald tossed in his socks and shirt. And there was the goat eating old MacDonald's socks. So they put down paper and cardboard in his lawn, in his yard that's no longer a yard because it's all dirt. The rain poured down and made a flood, and MacDonald's yard was mired in mud. Oh! The neighbors watched from up the alley, and then they held a protest alley. They didn't like mud on the lawn. There was supposed to be a lawn in the lawn. And they were complaining about this messy yard that MacDonald has now. Little hen got wetter and wetter. Garbage she cheaped will make things better. Things could not get worse, groaned Mac. And he flung his food scraps out the back. And now there's food all over the yard, old apple cores and old bits of sandwiches and corn cobs and all sorts of mess. Just in this mud and in this watery mud. And when the mud had turned to goop, the little red hen atop her coop clucked. Now, who will help me find some poop? MacDonald can't figure this out, but... So old MacDonald got a horse. And now, E-I-E-I-O, and the neighbors are really mad because now it stinks from all the horsey poop all over McDonald's muddy, garbagey yard. When the neighbors yelled, "We hate that smell," Mac and the hen built a worm hotel. In no time flat, those squirmy eaters turned out compost, sweet and sweeter. And the worms got to work in the yard, and they're really good to make muddy dirt that has food scraps in it and all sorts of things like that. Turn that into really good soil. That's why worms are so good for your garden. Gone was the grass, gone was the were the weeds. Old MacDonald ordered seeds. E-I-E-I-O. There he is. He and the hen and his little friend from next door were starting to plant seeds all over the place. The worms churned and made the soil good. The sun beat down and magic happened underground. Leaves burst out and flowers too, yellow and orange and purple and blue. Then vegetables so plump and sweet that Mac had more than he could eat. He milked the goat and made some cheese. He traded eggs for a hive of bees. The bees made honey and Mac made money. And the neighbors said, "Mac sure is smart," as they bought fresh food from his garden cart. And there old MacDonald let's see what he's got in his garden cart. Green peppers, watermelon, cucumbers, lettuce, potatoes, carrots, let's see what else, peas, kale, and he has pots of honey for sale, and he has some cheese that he made, and some eggs from his hen, and he even made sandwiches with cheese and tomatoes and lettuce that looked really good. And some flowers, of course. Now, old MacDonald has a farm, and he loves it so. E-I-E-I-O. And there he and his little friend are sitting down to eat some fresh carrots from the yard. And the yard now looks beautiful. And that's the end. This book is named Pumpkin Cat by Anne Turner. The wind howled, thunder boomed. The cat skittered sideways into a ditch, but water pounded after her. Racing in the head, the cat found a hollow pipe to hide in. But the water followed her, pushing, pushing, until she was swept away. Poor kitty. The racing stream tugged her this way and that, and then it slowed and left the cat on a wet green lawn. The cat struggled upright, licked her fur feebly, and staggered forward. Ahead was a building. Buildings meant people, and people meant food and warmth. Wearily, the ginger cat dragged herself to the top step. But there were no lights, no open doors, no voices floating out. Her whole body aching, the cat found a small door in a tall wooden box and pushed through, and she slept. She got into the box where you can return books, that you just drop your library books that you've read already, and that's on the outside of the library, and you can drop your books in there. And the poor kitty found that, and she went in there, and she fell asleep. "Look, it's a cat." Warm fingers lifted her out of the wooden box. Did someone return her with a book? Did they think she was overdue? Lisa chuckled, holding the cat close to her body. The cat hung limply, not moving. "Rochelle, do you think she's all right?" The other librarian peered at the cat. Softly, she stroked the cat again and again until a purr rumbled under her thumb. "She's all right, Lisa, just tired and hungry, I think. Let's get her inside." They bustled around, tipping things out of a large basket and lining it with a green sweater. Rochelle ran across the street to the market to buy some kibble. "Tuna feast. Every cat loves tuna feast," she said, putting it in a dish near the basket. "Come on, library cat, please eat? She needs a name, Rochelle said. Something to do with Halloween, because Halloween's only in a few days. How about Hallow's Eve? The cat rubbed against the librarian's legs. She wore soft black shoes, and they smelled like sheep. No, said Lisa, we can't call her Eve. She's sort of orange, a ginger cat. Well, how about Pumpkin Cat? Yes, I think I like that name. Rochelle nodded. Yes, let's call her Pumpkin Cat. The cat drank some water, nibbled some food, and explored the high, echoing rooms. She pawed through some books, but it didn't feel like a home yet. She knew that homes were more than walls and a roof to keep out the rain, but she wasn't quite sure what was missing. The next day, the door opened with a bang. Now, second graders, said Rochelle, come into the children's room. Some sat on the floor, some on chairs, and one on a cushion, and the cushion exploded. Yow! Howled Pumpkin Cat, and she shot out into the room. A little girl with braids chirped to her, Kitty, 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 come to Charlotte. The cat paused, turned, and nosed the little girl's hand. Purr, said the pumpkin cat. Purr. The girl smelled like dog bones and fresh air, and her overalls were soft and cozy. Pumpkin Cat curled up on Charlotte's lap and went to sleep. She remembered that this was part of having a home, a warm lap and someone to pet her. So I guess she had had a home at one time, but either she had lost her way or the people had left her in the street. But when the light faded in the car, the girl with the braids went away. Excuse me, but when the light faded in the sky, the girl with the braids went away, and the library felt huge and echoing. Pumpkin Cat walked around and around the library looking for a friend. She knew the noisy mice in the cellar could never be her friends. So she curled up to go to sleep by the stuffed sock monkey in the children's room. His beady eyes gleamed, but he did not say one word. He never did. And the wooden sheep that lived in a barn in the corner, they never said a word either. One day, the librarian, who always wore soft black shoes, brought a pumpkin and put it on her desk. It glowed like a bright orange moon. Pumpkin Cat could hear the sound of the children's voices outside, of feet running across the lawn. She peered out the open door. There was Charlotte. But everyone looked so strange and so different. A boy wore a shiny silver suit. Charlotte wore a black hat that could not hide her braids, and a long black dress. Others wore wigs and frightening masks. The children circled around a big black pot in the middle of the lawn. They seemed to be fishing for something, but what? Pumpkin Cat saw a boy bob up with a red apple in his teeth. It was all so strange and new that she stayed hidden and watched. Off to one side, children stuck their fingers into a box filled with sawdust. They scrabbled and held coins up to the light. Look, a nickel! Look, a penny! Pumpkin Cat came out for a better look. She wanted to be with them, so she pattered down the steps. When she found Charlotte, the ginger cat rubbed shyly against her leg. Here you are. I've been looking for you, the girl cried. Here's your fortune. Today you will find your heart's desire. But her voice was too loud, and Pumpkin Cat was afraid. She skittered off and hid behind a yew tree. It wasn't until everyone had gone away and she heard the librarians calling her that she crept out from under the branches. Slowly she went up the stone steps. She paused at the top, reluctant to go into the huge, echoing rooms, with no one to keep her company through the night but the noisy mice down in the cellar. "What's this, Rochelle?" Lisa said, taking off her carnival mask encroaching by a basket on the top step. Someone left something here. It's not one of the prizes, is it? Rochelle knelt by the basket and pulled off a fuzzy pink blanket. Underneath was a tiny black kitten, curled up and sleeping. My name is Halloween Cat, and I need a home. I like to purr, and tuna is my favorite food. I hear that this library likes cats. And this was written on a small card attached to the side of the basket. Well, said Lisa, that takes nerve. Slowly, Pumpkin Cat edged up to the basket and sniffed. What a wonderful smell! Fur, warm breath, and a hint of tuna, and the stuffy coziness that comes from sleeping under blankets. Gently, she grabbed the back of the kitten's neck and took her inside. The kitten swung back and forth, purring. Pumpkin Cat placed her in the basket, where she herself always slept. Carefully, thoroughly, she licked her from nose to tail, paying special attention to her ears. When she was done, Pumpkin Cat chirped and nudged the kitten towards the kibble dish. The kitten ate a few bites. Pumpkin Cat nudged her towards the water dish, and then towards the litter pan. Well, Rochelle said, smiling, I guess someone was right. We are a library that likes cats. And you know, Lisa, Pumpkin Cat needs help with the mice in the cellar. When they locked up the library, Rochelle took one last look. The two cats were curled together in the basket, ginger head right next to the black head. Pumpkin Cat purred and stayed awake long enough to feel the small, warm body against hers. Later, she would tell the kitten about the mice in the cellar and how foolish the sock monkey was and how silent the wooden sheep. But for now, she had finally found what was missing. A friend. And that is the end of the Pumpkin Cat story. Our next story is about a duck who's stuck in the muck. And it is called One Duck Stuck. And it's by Phyllis Root. Down by the marsh, by the sleepy, slimy marsh, one duck gets stuck in the muck. Down by the deep green marsh. Help! Help! Who can help? Yells the duck. We can, we can. Two fish, tails going swish, swim to the duck. Splish, splish. No luck, the duck stays stuck. Deep in the muck, down by the squishy, fishy marsh. Help, help, who can help? We can, we can. Three moose, munching on the spruce, plod to the duck. Clomp, clomp. No luck. The duck stays stuck. Deep in the muck, down by the swampy, chompy marsh. Help, help, who can help me? We can, we can. Four crickets chirping in the thickets. Leap to the duck. Pleep, pleep. No luck. The duck stays stuck. Deep in the muck, down by the pricky, sticky, stinky marsh. Help! Help! Who can help? We can! We can! Five frogs, hopping on logs, jump to the duck. Plop! Plop! No luck! The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the creaky, croaky marsh. Help! Help! Who can help? We can, we can. Six skunks climbing over trunks crawl to the duck. Plunk, plunk. No luck. The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the soggy, loggy marsh. Help, help. Who can help? Poor duck. We can, we can. and seven snails making slippery trails slide to the duck. Swoosh, swoosh. No luck. The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the slippy, sloppy marsh. Now the snails slid all over the duck, but they can't help him with anything. They're all over him. Help! Help! Who can help? We can! We can! Eight possums nibbling on blossoms crawl to the duck. Slosh! Slosh! No luck. The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the reedy, weedy marsh. Help! Help! Who can help? We can, we can. Nine snakes, leaving little wakes, slither to the duck. Slink, slink. No luck. The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the messy, mossy marsh. Help, help. Who can help? We can, we can. 10 dragonflies zooming through the skies whirr to the duck. Zing, zing. No luck. The duck stays stuck deep in the muck down by the muggy, buggy marsh. Help, help. Who can help? We can, we can. And now all those animals and bugs come to his help, and the fish too, and don't forget the snakes and the frogs. They all come to help the duck together. The moose are chewing the greenery from the trees. The crickets, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to help, and the frogs are going to help, and the skunks and all those snails and the possums and the snakes. And then again, the dragonflies, and they're all helping, trying to help all together. They all help the duck who got stuck in the muck. And let's see what they did here on this picture. They put down a stick for the duck to put the other foot on. And then he got his other, by having a stick to land on with the other foot, he was able to pull his stuck foot out of the muck. Thanks, said the duck who got out of the muck down by the deep green marsh. And now he is flying off away from the marsh. And all his animal friends are waving goodbye to him. And that is the end of One Duck Stuck by Phyllis Root. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-932-5138.